welcome to another episode of Three Wise DMs, the podcast where three dungeon masters who've been doing this for way too long talk about all the things we do to try to make our games as good as they can be.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Chris.
Born with a mustache and a supernova, tossed off the cliffs of Dover, washed up on a faraway shore in the arms of the daughter of the buffalo. Mama said he was the chosen one. Reverend said he was the other one. All that pay no mind inside his econoline. Swallower of planets, the prophets of doom, gonna need protection, the prophets,
I love it.
John the Revelator, so how?
We need more clutch in the openings. That was awesome.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Three Wise DMs. This is the Rock and Roll DM Dave. With Chris, you are absolutely correct. I knew you would love that one. That was Clutch, Prophets of Doom. So here's the funny thing. I love Clutch. I've loved them since, I think it was like 88. They dropped their EP Passive Restraints, and then like Transnational Speedway and stuff. And then I kind of lost them because they started to get really weird and spacey and stuff. But then they came back with Blast Tyrant. I remember I got a copy of it from somebody. And just Prophets of Doom. But here's the thing. I never had, like, the liner notes, so I didn't know. So I thought it was Prophets, like P-H-E-T-S, not Prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S. So the tie-in here is I'm thinking it's meaning Prophets, as in Prophets, like a prophet, not the Prophets of Money. So we are continuing. We are now, this will be the third one. So we came out with our gunslinger, Roland. We followed it up with John Maverick East, our rogue kind of knife fighter, possibly. Oh, no. Demolitions expert. And we are continuing to kind of build out our starting adventure party for the Boomtown campaign setting. And as you guys know, who have been following and those who haven't been following yet, we are doing the first ever crowdsourced D&D campaign setting, what we're calling Boomtown, which is our Weird West sci-fi meets D&D setting. And we are taking all comers here. So if you guys have ideas or thoughts or anything like that about what's happening with this setting as it builds out, please join the conversation. You can reach out to us at 3wisedms.com. You can get us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And you can also talk to us on Facebook and Instagram. That's where a lot of these conversations are taking place. A lot of polls, a lot of voting, a lot of what do you guys think about this? And today, we are going to delve into the prophets, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S, and start talking about our cleric in the Boomtown campaign setting as we bring along the Prophets of Doom here. So I'm going to throw it out to you guys. What does this person look like?
Well, some of the basic framework I think would still remain unchanged. We're looking at D8 hit points. I mean, something we do need to nail down is... Are we
the name? The name is what we need to nail down.
Well, yes.
Every
I was gonna say unarmed defense.
We do have to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, and we're gonna give that to all classes. Does the wizard get that? Are we allowing the wizard to cast have unarmed defense and mage armor? I mean, these are the kind of questions I have. But I was thinking something along the lines of either sister or doctor, not sure, because you asked for female character, Mercy Kane. That was my pitch. I mean, You know, you may roll that any way you'd like.
Sister Mercy? Or like Sisters of Mercy? I mean, or Dr. Mercy King. Ooh. Wow. Tony coming out again with a solid. Well, what I do know is Mercy is absolutely happening.
Yeah. No, I think any idea I had went out the window when you came up with Mercy Kane, especially Sister Mercy Kane. Like it's that's very Wild West.
All right,
no one's more shocked than me that this was so well received. But let's
No, and you know, I think I think a lot of they're like, if you think about it in the Wild West, I mean, they're going to be frontier priests, right? You're either going to have a small congregation in town or something like that, or you're going to be someone who's traveling with the word, right? They often have people that would come into town and proselytize and those kind of things.
That's what more what I'm kind of pushing towards, because like we started this out, like when we first started building out this campaign setting of Boomtown, we started talking about, you know, the prophet kind of rolls in and brings along something. We don't know yet, because again, like the whole inciting incident of Boomtown for all you guys is, well, ancient technology has been rediscovered in the wastes outside, and these boom towns are being set up by the shadowy powers that be to go gather this tech. And in essence, that's the avenue through a lot of the magic. But we started talking about the prophet, you know, rolling into town. It's very kind of a very Western cliche. And I'm thinking, what if we just took cleric and we literally just turned the class name into just prophet? Like, they're prophets. And we kind of really lean into that as opposed to these established churches. Because we talked about that in the faction setting, in the faction episode, that, like, the churches are kind of empty, right? Like, it's just something to, like, you know, religions are not allowed, you know, allowed except the state religion. That's kind of an empty husk of something. But this, the prophets are the ones that are now like, hey, BT Dubs, ancient tech, also the gods are back or something like that. So I'm thinking like we call them literally prophets.
No, that's solid. I actually have that in my notes. I had cleric / prophets. I'm down for that.
Sweet. Yeah, great name.
Prophet one. Okay. All right, so I love this. Sister Mercy Kane, a prophet. Oh, okay, let's do, before we go on, let's go with some stat rollouts. So, like, this is kind of the what we've built up last two episodes, so let's just keep it going this way.
46, and again, guys, throwing away, yep, throwing away
the... Drop the lowest, absolutely.
Oh, this, oh, dang. That's a... that's three sixes. That's a
oh wow,
that's lost the ability. That's 18. That's the, yes, only 18 we've ever got.
Yeah, it was
auspicious.
I didn't even know how to calculate it. I've never actually rolled it before. And so there you go. Apparently it is possible. So there you go, like, for everyone this? Here. It is now immortalized that you can. It will actually happen on occasion. All right, it's next
the devil's
one is
number too. So yeah.
Yeah. So next one is 11.
All right, solid. Sister Mercy Kane. She can help John East out with his six.
There's a 10. All right. She's starting, she's starting to level out here.
All right. No, no, we're good.
Let's see. Oh, this one's pretty good. That's said to a 15.
Mm-hmm. 15. Damn.
Well, this one's not bad either. That's 3, 5. So for another 15.
15. Okay. Oh, my God. She's a baller.
Yeah, she's actually, she's going to be the lead one in the group. And what do I got? One left?
One more. There, make it a good one.
That's, well, that's not bad. That's going to be another 15. 6, 6,
holy,
and 3.
Crap.
Holy, yeah, no, that was okay. The dice are hot. I gotta be,
well, I mean, if
anybody
you have
need a roll of a character,
if you have if you have a class called Prophet, you probably want to be rolling with something hard. All right, we like we did with Roland and John Maverick East. We got raised 1 by 2 and 1 by 1. I mean, are we just? I mean, the 20, right? We got to take the 20.
Well,
yeah?
you could, but I don't know. The plus one would leave you with 3 16s.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a 19, 12, and 3 16s, and you're boorish 11 somewhere. Like,
all right, like so we're saying maybe, so we got the 18, 11, and 10, and then take ones on all the 15s and turn them to 16s? That is what you're saying?
I mean, if you...
Generally,
like that, yeah,
it's the raise 1 by 2 or 1 by 1 or raise 3 by 1 is the general 5e kind of formula. So
let's do three, could, like that 3 1s, 3 16s, and that 18 sits there really nice. 3 16s is going to be really, like, I mean, she's going to be a baller.
That's powerful,
right? Very, that's very like balanced, right?
All right,
3 16s.
All right. All right, where are we? Where, I mean, obviously,
the 18 is going to wisdom.
Like, that's wisdom, right?
I mean, it was predestined.
I mean, come on. All right, so we got the 18 in wisdom, obviously. These 16s, I'm thinking, you know, prophet's charisma. And maybe Con or Dex.
Yeah, I was going to throw Constitution. I knew Tony would be waiting with the Constitution. Yep. But yeah, she's going to need to survive this. That would be very helpful. And I think Charisma is actually a good choice.
So 16 and that.
For like something, maybe that because the saving throws. Actually, you know, the saving throws for a cleric are Wisdom and Charisma anyway. So it fits really nicely.
As we talked last time, we'll go into that in just a sec. Let's so I got those three. I get the 18, 16, 16. I got two more. The 11 and the 10 between intelligence and strength.
It's like 11 intelligence, 10 strength, or something like that. Or less. I mean, I guess it's
that's
really
what I was thinking.
It's push either way.
Yeah, why not, right? Yeah, so as you guys remember last time, Tony had come up with a really, really nice idea, like where we have this idea. So everything else in 5e is very much like you get to choose out of a list of things, right? I get to choose out of these four skills. I get to choose out of these whatever it might be. But saving throws, it's like this is what you get. And you brought up, Tony, the idea like we give the – like a prophet, a cleric is going to get wisdom, obviously, as a save because it's part of the class. But then you get to kind of choose what's your other saving throw, which kind of helps you customize. Well, maybe my person is just very charismatic. I want a charisma save or something like that. So I really like that idea. So obviously wisdom will be one of them. But what do you guys think for the other?
So with my idea, like, I mean, I don't know, and I'll pitch this back to you. I said, like, if we just gave, like, full carte blanche, then, like, obviously I would want something like Wisdom and Constitution or Wisdom and Dex, because, like those three are the kings of saving throws. But, like, I want you to have full freedom and say, like, maybe I don't want Charisma, maybe I want Strength, or, you know, maybe I want Intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I like the idea. I think, I mean, in this case, she sounds a little bit like she might be Charisma. I do like the Constitution one, too. That is, that's probably metagaming a bit, but that sure would be useful in a, in a frontier setting. But, you know, and the Charisma, Wisdom and Charisma seem like her hot stats. It seems like what she would be, saving well at.
I mean, I don't disagree with that at all, Chris. And I also, I think we've hit a nice medium ground between really building out a character that like really breathes as a person, but then also like, I don't want to just die. I would like some extra hit points. So I want to bump my con a little. Like, I think you can find that nice middle ground.
First part of the game was I playing and I had 2 hit points. Those were good times.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, unless anybody has a thing, let's try it. Like a wisdom and charisma save.
Okay.
Yeah.
Classic choice.
All right. Yeah, why not, right? So 2 throws, that's a plus 3 on Dex, that's a plus 3 on Con, it's a 0, that is a plus 4 in Wisdom, and a plus 3 in Charisma. I mean, she is statted out, man. Going forward too, so last episode, I think we started to kind of get around something with the sneak attack, but it made me start to think, because I was looking at the proficiencies of the 5e cleric. So for our profits, obviously armor and stuff we've talked about, it's not really a thing. And Tony, we can jump in and kind of hammer down more on the unarmored defense idea, which again, I really like. But I was also thinking you have things like simple weapons, martial weapons, and we kind of hit this with Roland the Gunslinger. Your martial weapons, because firearms are so prevalent in this world, and it's going to be like the main currency of violence in this world, will be firearms, that things like shotguns, rifles, big revolvers are martial weapons. They are heavier weapons. They take that kind of thing. But simple weapons are things like pistols and derringers and stuff like that. And I think, like, I'm looking at the cleric, like, weapons, they have proficiency in simple weapons. So she's not just rolling out there immediately with, like, a big old, like, howitzer. But it also answers the question going back last episode for John East and the sneak attack thing. If we look at the idea of sneak attack, it has to be with something like a finesse weapon. That's why rogues are always wielding rapiers, right? They're not wielding a greatsword because you don't get sneak attack with that. So I'm thinking sneak attack, just to hit for last episode too, is really on simple weapons. So pistols, derringers, things that don't have the same wallop. But because you have the sneak attack, it lets you have a little extra wallop. Does that make sense?
You don't feel like someone could snipe somebody with a rifle?
I do, but I was just thinking about the idea of what we were kind of revolving around with the sneak attack thing, you know?
Well, I mean, but, it, but the same would go, could you snipe somebody with a heavy crossbow? Like, but by the rules, like, you wouldn't, like, but true, but getting back to it, I mean, the cleric starts out with, I'm already in the vernacular here, they start out with, like, crossbow is one of their options in there. So, I mean, they have a ranged weapon that would be very similar to a pistol. She's going to carry a pistol. Yeah, that's going to be a thing. I don't know if they would have a mace or anything like that, or what the Wild West equivalent of that would be, like a club or something like that, a shillelagh.
Well, as we've talked, right, like, there's going to be plenty. If you want to carry around a sword and a scabbard, that's awesome. Be my guest. But, like, dudes are going to be packing six shoes.
As I'm right? saying, like, in the spirit of the world, right? Yeah, the spirit of the world, she's not going to have armor. She's going to be carrying a pistol, right? Like, the simple weapons. I like the simple weapons idea there. And, like, she's not going to be having armor there. So she's just going to be wearing a duster or whatever her priest, you know, prophet's clothing or whatever like that. But, I mean, they do have shield, holy symbol. Like, that one would be, that's going to be an interesting thing. Like, would you require that kind of things? Even, like, when we get to wizard, the idea of that, like, a focus or something to it as part of the equipment required.
Yeah, definitely. But let's back it up, though. Just, I wanted to get that in because it made me think, and I wanted to say it last time, and we just didn't quite get there. And I was like, oh, finesse weapons. But regardless, the idea of simple weapons. But Tony, let's nail down a little more, like you were talking about, with the idea that we're building out for, because we don't have armor in this world in the same way, the idea of some level of unarmored defense where you are able to be wily and crafty and gain some additional armor class because of your wily craftiness.
So where we kind of left off on this was, it was drawing from con, dex, or wisdom, and we added intelligence into that pool, right? So with that said, we could make that possibly allowable to all character classes, because, I mean, really, I could be like, hey, I'm wearing a poncho, and it's giving me, like, +1 to my armor class. But, like, what the heck is that? Like, I'm walking around with my 11. Maybe I find a really good one. I'm up to a 12. You are a sitting duck, and you have people shooting at you with 2d8 weapons. I mean, you're going to be cut to pieces. So something, when we get to the wizards, like, we have to take a look at spells that allow for things like mage armor, because they would not exist in our world if everybody's got a shot at having unarmed defense.
No, I think that's a very good point, too, is that I like it as a concept to give everybody, because basically we're taking the concept of armor proficiencies out, right? That's not going to be a thing anymore. You're going to wear, you know, might have like leather overcoat proficiency or something like that. So if you're going to do that, you're leveling the classes, but the wizard has traditionally been you're not supposed to wear armor class. So we can cross that when we get there. But
yeah,
the cleric, they have some light ability, but I love the idea of the unarmored defense for them, even if it's something just based off of their wisdom or something like that. It should be leaning into whatever your class feature is a little bit. So,
I think I like that too. The idea that, like, each person's unarmored defense is kind of pulling on different things in a way. But yeah, I don't have any problem saying that right off the bat. If everyone in this world has the option to take this unarmored defense idea, right? The minute that you start adding armor to yourself, if it is an extra leather duster that gives you, like we talked about with Roland, a studded leather kind of thing, if you take that, if I drop major armor on myself, any of those things, that supersedes the unarmored defense. Just like monks and barbarians, if they start strapping armor on, they now no longer get that bonus. So I think it could easily be you choose this or this. So I don't think it's as hard as it could be for that. But I would like to say, like, I like that we make it partly intelligence, because it makes intelligence matter again. And it makes you have to be smarter than your opponent in a way. But will it then be a revolving depending on what one of your hot stats is? Like, for the prophet, it would be wisdom and intelligence or something like that. For the fighter, it might be dexterity and intelligence. Is that the way we're thinking?
That's the way I was thinking. That way, you're not really locked in. Like, one class doesn't get cooked on like you're saying, oh well, the fighter's inherently going to have higher stats than the cleric. And I was also thinking, I agree with you, Dave, on, you know, you could opt to put on the heavy duster, take 2 points of armor class, and that's the end. Your unarmored defense is canceled. But I do think that we should add in as rewards throughout the game to allow the player's armor class to go up, items that will boost their armor class without interfering with their unarmored, just like a barbarian would. They'd find a plus one cloak.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, that's the beauty of magic, right?
A plus one wide-brimmed hat. Like, I don't know.
And the benefits of having it in your... I think that also answers the question of where you would put it, is it's going to be in the stats that you're going to increase. If I'm a rogue or a fighter, I'm going to enhance my dexterity, which is naturally going to start to increase my armor class, my unarmored defense, just from the natural progression of keeping that in there.
Yeah. All right. Guys. Good. So that's excellent. So Sister Mercy's will be based off wisdom and intelligence, undoubtedly. Awesome. So we got our saving throws. Now let's talk some skills here. As we do, we're just kind of looking at the general PHB, the original 2014 model, and we're kind of starting to play with these ideas through that. So that's kind of why we're following this this pattern here. So in the original cleric, you have choose two from history, insight, medicine, persuasion, and religion. Now, again, we did change two different skills. Just to remind you guys out there, we took Arcana and we made that the tech skill because tech is so important in our world here. And then Tony had the really cool idea with history, because not a lot is known in this world necessarily yet, because, you know, the terrible stuff happened and now this civilization has kind of rebuilt itself. Instead of history, we go with streetwise. And that's kind of a catch-all. I know a guy. I heard some stuff over there. I know something about the next town. You know, you can. I actually like it very much. I like that type of mechanic, that skill. I might even want to add some skill like that just normally, you know, just an overall, just an additional streetwise skill. But for the cleric, you have history, which is streetwise, insight, medicine, persuasion, and religion. So what are we thinking for Sister Mercy?
I feel like she's contractually obligated for religion. I mean...
She would. I mean, and I guess, I mean, in religion, in many ways, would probably be a little bit like a variation of streetwise, is that they would know of some of the other religions. It's still very new, to your point, right? Like, they wouldn't know about a lot of the other stuff, but they would know maybe a little bit about the current religions that were happening there. All so, right. it would be a muted version of religion. That, and medicine would be an interesting one, too. Is that, are we talking like true Wild West, where it was like, you know, slap a leech on it and bleed them kind of things, sort of thing, like there? Do we tweak that down a little bit there versus a traditional medicine skill?
Two things for me. Medicine skill, I think we could easily lean into this harder because people are dealing with gunshot wounds now. So the ability of medicine to like actually stabilize someone and dig a slug out of their calf is like super important possibly now, right? And maybe can bring some actual bonus and some level of healing, possibly. Who knows? Let's talk. But I'm thinking here, we're kind of leaning into this idea. So they're called a prophet. The class is prophet. So instead of religion, because again, there is no real religion other than maybe the empty state religion. So instead, I'm just thinking with Sister Mercy, she has such a great charisma. What if we took the religion thing and made it almost like a persuasion role of being a prophet, of like proselytizing, preach. Of preaching? Preach. Yeah, right. Yeah. So like, yeah. Ooh, I like that. Right.
Like, and specifically, it was like a charisma-based skill that's you're basically
no
like
one
you're persuading.
Knows about. Yeah, no one knows about your what you were saying you found in the waste, so you're preaching, right? The preacher, right? What do we think?
So if she was making an intelligence check on religion to understand some old lore, that would stay. But if she was like evangelizing, then we give her the charisma check.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think that there would be like I feel like the religion being an intelligence based thing, I think we just say we nix it, because what do we really know about religion in this world? But we could turn it into like a charisma-based preaching skill, like a preach skill, because you're the prophet, right? Like if you choose this class, you've come out and you are attempting to, you know, gain adherence to do what you want to do. Maybe overthrow the government, maybe whatever.
It's just a tweak where we kind of mix persuasion and religion in this case into something like that. It's very much a persuasion check, because I don't know what the... You would use your preach skill for it, be to convert people or something like that. But it's, you know, it works well. But I think to your point, you wouldn't know any more than you might know that there's a prophet in another town who's talking about something else. But that's also kind of falls under the concept of streetwise, right? It's not like you're knowing a whole lot about the history of your religion, more that you know that there's people around practicing other religions than yours.
No, that's solid. I mean, I would say religion, medicine. I would let someone do some persuasion to preach, to convert. That tracks with me. And then, insight.
We have two from these. So we think in, insight is always great. Medicine is great. We got preach now. We have streetwise or persuasion. But we kind of, the persuasion role, like that's kind of what's kind of fun is that like, it doesn't have to be a specifically persuasion. It's a very specific type of persuasion.
Yeah. I mean, I like medicine for her. If she's going to be a frontier priest, right? Like you figure if she's traveling between towns, she's going to have to know how to handle patching up a wound or something like that. And maybe some.
And maybe she will be like about healing and stuff like that, too. Maybe not all prophets will be. And this will also help to cleanse the class of heal bots sometimes. Right. You can just be a prophet of like, no, like I'm not going to heal you. I have a six shooter, you know, whatever.
And the preach one or persuasion, if we just want to call, you know, if we just want to say persuasion and preach. Or something like that. She's charismatic.
I'm going to put it under the preach and medicine skill. I think that's kind of fun. Just for now, let's see what like it comes with. But I like this idea of leaning into they're a prophet, you know? All right, Tony, I'm going to make you do it just for anyone who has jumped in recently and is just catching up with us. When we start going into some of the starting equipment. So let's just start out with your idea. Idea of the Frontier Pack. And then like you guys can start, you know, Chris, you were talking about light crossbow and stuff. We can kind of build out what Sister Mercy might be carrying with her. And I'm just going to fill out the skills here.
Frontier Pack. She's going to have a pistol, which covers the bedroll, mess kit, tinder box, canteen, lantern. Lamp oil, 10 days of hardtack, 50 feet of rope, and an ammo patch of for 24 rounds. It's fairly comprehensive. It's like your Wild West kit, ladies and gentlemen, right there. Don't leave home without it.
Well, I'm saying, like, what are we talking about for maces and warhammers in this world, right? Like, are there going to be equivalent things there? She's going to carry something like that in addition to her pistol? Because, you know, she's going to get a pistol out of the back. She's going to have her Frontier Pack. And then obviously there's a shield and a holy symbol. Like, I don't know if we're going to do shields. So whatever with that, that's a thing. The holy symbol. So it has some, I mean, I guess it could just be a cross or something
Unless it's Captain America.
They have a riot shield.
Yes, it would be weird in the world, but I'm saying for the holy symbol, right? Is it tech? Like, or is it something that's more spiritual? Like we kind of, the religion and the tech of the world are kind of mixed here, but the holy symbol itself, is it something that's a piece of ancient tech that they're sharing around? Or is it something like you'd have a cross or the David Star or something like the Star of David or something like that as a symbol versus it's a piece of something that's like, because we're talking about stuff coming back from the desert that they're finding old tech and things like that, that are leading to these religious revelations.
If it was old tech, it would need to be linked to one of these deities and then it would be a symbol of some form. So, I mean, I'm going with a symbol.
Some of the stuff we were talking about with like the history of the world and like kind of what brought this is like the ancient tech. There were certain people that, And we've talked about how, like, sorcerers and warlocks and druids will kind of come about because they're being changed by, like, the radiation and the energy of the technology. So back in the day, people were being changed, and there came a point where some people had, like, maybe ascended to a level of godhood or deity. And yeah, like, that could be a link with these symbols that they find and they bring back to tell people about what they found. And we don't have to, we can let that be open. Is it actual divinity? Is it weird, crazy future AI? Is it, right? Who knows, right? Is it just Ubermen, you know, type of thing? Like, people that have been so warped that they become, like, perfected in a way. That can still be open, but it can link into the tech in a way, but slightly differently, right? They're utilizing that to power things, but they don't necessarily know how or why. All right. So obviously, she's going to probably roll out with some sort of pistol or derringer of some sort. Because you were saying mace, warhammer, or stuff. That could always be like a billy club
She'd have equivalent piece. Obviously, her light crossbow, her pistol, is going to be her weapon of choice in this, along with the frontier pack. And, like, some sort of holy symbol. She's carrying some piece of old tech or a symbol that was on a piece of old tech that symbolizes her religion there. And then there's the spellcasting and divine domains, which is a conversation unto itself.
So right off the bat, yeah. So, like, and this is what will help us with the cleric, because we don't have to level up and then find out what the big things are to talk about. So we can get into the meat of it right now. So she's rolling with our idea of unarmored defense. She's rolling with a 14 armor class because it's wisdom plus 4 and her intelligence is a plus 0. So she has a 14. She's got a plus 3 initiative and she currently has 11 hit points. Now, obviously you got spellcasting and divine domain. So let's start.
So real fast, just maybe I just didn't understand something. She's got a wisdom of an 18. Why wouldn't she, like, tie that to one of her other 16 ability scores that's in the matrix there of con, wiz, dex?
Because we were using the intelligence portion of it, so that she, like, intelligence was a part of the unarmed defense.
That's what I was understanding.
Yes. Oh, it is.
Intelligence plus one of your other, like, your big major stats.
You feel it should be intelligence and one, your option of one of those three things. Interesting. Okay.
Crap. Well, I mean, we might have
moved the 16 over to intelligence then.
We might have, we could alter this in the future, but yeah, I mean, the whole idea was that, like, you're using some of your wits and your smarts to, you know, find good cover, to know when somebody's got the drop on you, that type of stuff. We could always tie it to dexterity as well. I mean, that makes a lot of sense as well, right? So it could be your dex and your intelligence.
She could wear a duster too. A clerics can wear things like she could, like Roland, she could wear a studded leather duster and use her dexterity too if we wanted to be for armor class.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's to be discussed. Continue, because we're building out something that is brand new for this world. So we have several different ideas. Maybe we will reach out to you guys out there. What are your thoughts on how to play with this unarmored defense idea in a world of firearms? But as we get in, like, the big thing here. Divine domains and spell casting. Okay. John Maverick East and Roland have not had to deal with this as of yet. They might come into magic later in their careers, but for right now, they're just shooting weapons and blowing up bridges. So what do we think?
I would think, like, the thing for me would be, like, do we still roll with the idea that the cleric can prepare a list from, that he has, like, this whole book to prepare from, or do they become, because we're in a more of a frontier world, more like the wizard, where they have a list of spells that they know, but they don't have this unlimited, they don't have the book that has all the answers, and as they keep going, I can study any of these spells, I don't have to have learned them and then prepare them. because that makes it sort of a weird kind of dynamic in a world like this, that they basically would have a book that would contain all of the cleric spells there. But I don't know. I mean, that is a key part of the class, but that would be one of the things about it that would be different in this sort of scenario.
I would actually, for the profit, I would love to lean into what we were starting to play with in the Dragonlance campaign to really make the clerics and the idea of pulling from some sort of otherworldly thing, right? So whether it's future AI, whether it's actual gods, whatever it might be. But it was that, so the way that we did it in Dragonlance with Eva, Scott's character, was Eva didn't prepare spells. So generally the normal cleric, right, they have access to every spell of that level, and in the morning they prepare X number. But they can choose from all the whole list of spells, just like the paladin does. Okay. But Scott was saying, well, like, I don't know about, like, what do you think about, like, she doesn't know what she knows because she has been called by Mishakal, right? She doesn't even understand this. She's not a priestess, right? She was a squire. So he said, what if I have the possibility to cast any of these spells, but that is under the domain of Mishakal. So in essence, he says, I want to try to cast this with my amount of spell slots that I have. And then DM Dave, as Mishakal, says yay or nay at that time. And some, because Mishakal was a goddess of healing and light, really super aggressive violent spells were just not even accessible. But there was a bit of a give and take, you know, but it kind of leans into this. I don't know what I'm doing with this because the god is speaking through me. You know, what do you guys think about something like that? So, where it really gives the ability to play with the DM in real time.
Part of me really likes what Chris is pitching, back to your point there, where it's like, hey, you're in a new world, and magic is super rare, and many it's undiscovered, we're just learning about it, and by the way, you're an acolyte, you know your ass from your elbow about being a prophet, and here's all the spells at level one. They're all yours, right?
Yeah. Here's all the answers to the test.
Yeah. I got you. I also know from my personal experience, getting a person to play a cleric usually involves some bribery. So, like, it depends at the table. So there is pros and cons to that. Now that with Dave is pitching, I feel like if the players are on board for something like that, then that's cool. That may turn other players off where they feel like they're in a kind of like a mother may I situation. But what I really liked about what Dave did in Dragonlance was the prophet, so to speak, was truly a special animal. This isn't one like, you know, you walk in a tavern and yeah, there's a cleric in there, or there's a monastery, there's a bunch of clerics over there. Not at all. You truly are special and unique, and that's why it has magic to it, dare I say.
And I think that leads into this campaign setting, because the idea of magic by its very nature is brand new to the world. So it's not like artificers and wizards are populating every tavern. They're rare. You happen to be one because you're a player in the game, right? But
right. Yeah.
And prophets are rare. So you are like what Eva was, you know, bringing the gods back to the land of Krim and all that.
And you have a couple papers there that contain the spells that you've learned to be able to call forth from your god, you know, like a much more like a wizard in that sense than like the traditional cleric where you'd have the entire Bible or so to speak to choose from to cast from. So I think that would be a cool switch to make them a little bit more that learn and prepare spells versus knowing all of them. And then even the one other one, when I was looking through the spells and cantrips specifically, the one that we would have to pay attention to in our world is mending.
Mending,
yeah. Right? Like, because if you think about it, any of the other ones, it's whatever. You could give it a flavor. Mending, all of a sudden, it has a power that could be possibly exploited, right? Like I could mend a broken object. Like a lot of what we're talking about is going out and finding broken objects, right? Or broken pieces of tech. Like we would have to very specifically, you can't do this for a tech or something like that. Like it, you know, but that was okay. The one thing when I was looking through those, fair I was point. Like, wow, that would be a very powerful cantrip to have inside of this world.
Yeah, I think you would have to. I think you're right, Chris. But I think that could easily be like that's a good adjudication point for the DM. Like, you know, where it's like, would I be able to try to mend something? This, for instance, whatever.
Yeah, I think and I that think could turn into some.
Oh God, no, because you don't even know what are you mending,
exactly,
right? You don't even know.
It's not like a piece of wood.
So all right. So we're starting to get some ideas here. How about we pick out the three cantrips that Sister Mercy might be able to play with at level one?
I would say light. I feel like that would be super useful in a world that would be considered in a less technologically advanced world, right?
Where you're going into the wastes at night.
Yeah. Kind of, right? It would be really useful, right? You don't necessarily always need a torch. So.
I mean, obviously, Spare the Dying, I think, is a very helpful one.
Yeah.
Especially if Sister Mercy, I mean, especially with her name, I feel like she is a bit more of a healer than not.
Yeah. No, and then I mean, we kind of go something like a Sacred Flame or Word of Radiance or something. Like, she has to have some level this is, like, I have to have something that I can do that I'm not blowing spell slots and be useful in, besides doing all the other important cleric things.
Absolutely. Okay. And maybe that could even be something where she you know, like, some of it is actually... It happens maybe from the gun or something, you know.
Or something
like
you can flavor it. Yeah, we can flavor it up very Western style.
If they want to, you know, they don't have to, but that's more of a flavor of anything. Yeah. All right. So I know we were. I don't know if it sounded a bit like we were all on three different pages here with the idea of what, like the how a prophet is gaining their spells and or preparing or not preparing. So we had like three separate ideas here.
Let's nail down the audience. That's my thought there.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Like a learn, like a traditional cleric versus learn and prepare, like a wizard versus like the Dragonlance mechanic versus, where you're coordinating with the DM as far as, so it's a bit like one, but with a, it's like one with a twist.
That is a wonderful way to get the audience involved.
Wonderful.
So guys, yes, please. Let us know what your thoughts. I will be sending some polls and stuff out in following the drop of this episode. So please, like I said, join the conversation. All right. So that is first level for Sister Mercy. Taking her up to second level, she's going to grab another. We're going to go 5 plus 3, 8, because I've just been doing average hit points because I stopped rolling for hit points a long time ago. Hate me if you want, but I just don't really want to roll
nothing
a one.
Nothing quite like getting three hit points on a D10 when you're a fighter.
I mean, I appreciate the roll, but like, you know, like the monsters don't hit less hard, you know, just because. Yeah. So
I've actually gotten energy drained in previous editions and then had my stuff restored and rolled my hit points back and turned out to be ahead of the game. No kidding.
All right. So obviously, we've had it's at second level, the channel. Oh, well, actually, one thing we didn't talk about with first level, guys, the divine domain. Yes. That's right. Where is Sister Mercy pulling from?
So I added some ideas on this. I thought there'd be like a traditional faith that's like the widely extrapolated, you know, thought of, but perhaps not really native to where they are. Like, say, let's say this is out east. I'm just throwing this out there. This is what is like the established thoughts. I mean, I don't know where we're to factor this in with the state church, so to speak, but I came up with seven deities. I have Tharos and Solmara, who are the king and the queen of the gods, and they cover several things. The sky, the rain, life, and the sun. You have the god of knowledge, Velkrin. A god of the afterlife, Lathira, god of the sea, Ra, the deep father, the god of war, Astra, and the god of nature, Eldenor. Just rolls right off the tongue. And I kind of threw something out there that perhaps at one point there was this one cosmic entity that came to this world. It was a dragon that tried to devour the world from space, so to speak, and they destroyed it, supposedly. All very loose and lost into the lore, things that they could discover. And then I wanted to kind of throw out what's the mythology of, like, the waste route here. Like, that doesn't really have traction in this environment. And I kind of then bit off Native American myths for this, where the principal good deity would be the raven. He was associated with creation of the sun, the moon, water, all those things. He would be like the primary good lawful god, and the coyote would be the neutral god, who's the trickster, the shape changer, who could both be a hero and deceptive depending upon his mood. And then I have basically three gods who are unnamed at this time, but basically they cover fire, winter, and serpents, kind of like the trio of evil deities. And this was like my just explosion of thought on this topic.
Sure. I will say I don't mind some of that stuff that you had for the waste, but the pantheon you had for like the main things, they sounded cool, but they sounded cool for like a Greek inspired or an Elvish inspired kind of normal fantasy setting, which doesn't sound like anything in Boomtown. It doesn't have any of that flavor of this kind of weird West thing that this has been turning into. But I do really like the idea of the stuff in the wastes like that.
Yeah, no, I think we can lean into that same sort of idea. I think like the idea is the divine state would have a religion that isn't one that clerics follow, right? Like they're coming out and they're sort of wiping out the people that are these other religions coming from the wastes through the prophets that are giving people the issue, you know, giving people these extra powers. Turning them into prophets and stuff like that. So each of those, I think, even if we have to tweak the names, I think what Tony had there as far as a layout of the different gods and the general ideas of how it would work there work really good. I especially like there would be many prophets, but I like the idea of like the three or the thing. There was like the raven, the coyote, and then there would be like the divine state one, right? Like it would be that like that origin story mixed in myth where there are these things from before, these the good god and the bad god, right, that are currently battling through all of this stuff through the prophets and everything else, and those that symbology would be really cool as far as having a raven or a god that's specifically the good one that's working through the wastes versus an evil god. I don't know what if it the coyote was the neutral one, so there would be like like a snake or something, you know.
Right. So what I was kind of going for there was like kind of contrast between like the European gods to the Native American gods, like that religion, like that whole vast disparity there. I also kind of wanted to pitch perhaps like there's some the lost ones. And I was thinking those could be our AIs, right? They don't really have divine magic, but they've got the technology / arcana. And then they can have their own followings and provide boons and whatnot to interested parties as well.
The divine state, I love the idea that they have all of these gods that they supposedly pray to, but the idea of them pulling power from that, I don't think that couldn't be how it is, because that would mean they would have, I mean, they'd have 20th level clerics in the divine state, and then magic has been in the world this whole time. So it kind of, it pulls away from the very inciting incident of the campaign setting to begin with, which is the return of magic into the world, right? So, like, they could have these things and say, oh, it's we have the giant spaghetti monster because we're Pastafarians, you know? But that doesn't mean it's, like, real,
the actual,
you know?
Spellcasters, yes.
Right, but maybe
they would be trying to quash people. And the thought that these people had additional powers, because theirs is just, it's the accepted religion. But yeah, they are not, they would be, their clerics would be getting beefed up the same time as our clerics would as they found this stuff. They themselves would want that power, but they would be proselytizing against it and trying to wipe it out because it would cause dissent.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, for Sister Mercy, like all we really need to do is like think of a domain, and with any pantheons, any gods that you do in any campaign setting, the domains kind of they spread over anything, right? It doesn't matter. So for her, what are we thinking? I'm thinking like something like a life or light thing, right?
I'm thinking life or like something like a war domain where she's a like a battlefield medic sort of kind of idea where she's dealt with that, with the medicine angle tied in. But it could be, I mean, it's
and life that's is the just a that's classic, the mercy you know. She brings is the gun. The mercy it could of the gun. Be. Yeah. Okay. All right. I mean, why not? Let's say maybe like we'll say possibly either war or life.
I really like the war domain too. That's a kick-ass cleric.
Yeah, it is.
I don't dislike it. So all right. So that's that. So for second level, as we bring up, so that's the channeled divinity feature. I don't think we really need to think much on this other than, you know, you can do it, you know, there's no,
well, I'm just saying would we consider turn undead to be a good primary feature for that? Would that be something that they would be encountering?
Like
in
is that the
portrait of evil in this world versus they can turn something else?
Yeah, some of it might be turn undead, but somebody, if they're a war domain, their channel divinity feature is going to be, you know, very different, you know, just like you have in the domains, you know, like you have turn undead, but then you actually have the domain channel divinity. I think we lean more into those rather than the turn undead, you know.
Guided strike is a kick-ass.
Right, like that makes a lot more sense. Like why, I get why traditionally, because clerics and it was like they fought against, you know, the things against life and all this.
It was the version of evil.
But I like the idea more of leaning way heavier into your actual domain, the actual domain channel divinity, you know. And then, you know, you have your features. So like the feature, you know, like War Priest, you know, you would be able to, when you use the attack action, you can make one weapon attack as a bonus action. So maybe if she has like a blackjack and something like that. Or if it's something like that, maybe you could use that and you could make fire twice with a pistol or something like that. If you got like a
six shooter, right? That would track.
Yeah, because again, like we are limiting this by making ammo count, because you are not retrieving bullets that you've shot, no matter where they went, right? If they went into a building, like you're still not getting it, right? It's 700 yards.
I mean, you can retrieve your bullet. I mean,
but... yeah, that's a hell of an investigation.
Just can't fire it again. It's all smashed.
But yeah, so allowing like an additional attack sometimes is not necessarily a game changer, because you still have to get more ammunition and stuff. So yeah, so an additional 8, so that is 27. And that
she's pretty beefy.
That kind of builds out Sister Mercy Kane. And as opposed to John Maverick East, she actually has quite a good handling check. So that's very helpful.
Man, she's a battlefield medic. She'll be good at keeping the pulling the lead slugs out of their legs and stuff like that. Slapping iron on it.
Everybody loves lead.
With that, let's go to some final thoughts on the Prophets of Doom, the building out the cleric class, the prophet class, as it were, in the Boomtown campaign setting.
So, yeah, we'll definitely want to spend some more time flavoring out those, the pantheon. I mean, we could get in a trap because, I mean, my God, you go through all those different domains and, like, create a different god or goddess for that. That could go on, like, forever. But I'd be very interested to see what the poll comes back for how they want to handle the cleric and their spells.
Yeah, no, and I think that was something that's really been cool about what we've been doing is those kind of things where it's taken something that's a standard sort of feature of a class and trying to tweak it a little bit. And kind of having discussion back and forth and finally getting it out for you guys to vote on. But I think it's a good way to think of it. Like, it's just like they say, it's like I mean, obviously it's on a page, it's in set in stone, but you can take these things and you can tweak them even in your own campaign. You can find features and find ways and find house rules, right? In many ways, we're just creating house rules for Boomtown with a lot of these, like different classes and stuff like that. So I think it's a really cool idea with the reskinning of it all. And then you reach these points, and sometimes they're big questions, but we'll figure out eventually. In the meantime, we'll just do it the way that it is. But I think these are good questions to ask about how it works in my particular setting, because we're doing Wild West. Maybe
these things don't work there? And I think those are legitimate questions to ask when you're putting it all together.
That's a very good point, because we have no idea how these things actually look when you run it. But that's kind of the case for everything that you do. As Matt Colville has said before, everything you put on the table is a prototype. Because unless you're running the same exact thing every single time, you have no idea how this stuff is going to run. So, but we are sticking with the vision and the theme for this world, and I think it's really coming together as we have our three party now of Roland, the gunslinger, John Maverick East, our demolitions expert rogue, and Sister Mercy Kane, the prophet. Who knows what will come next episode when we start to finally break into what do wizards and technology people and artificers look like in the world of Boomtown. But as I said at the top of the show, guys, and as we talked about here, we're going to throw out the poll about the clerics and how do they get spells and utilize them. I like the idea when, as Chris, you were also saying that, like, we're kind of the classes are starting to play a little different. There's things that they actually can do better. It's not just an even hand across the board of 12 different classes. But reach out to us. You can reach us at 3wisedms.com and put anything you want in the What's Your Problem field. You can reach us at 3wisedms@gmail.com. And then obviously Facebook and Instagram, we're very active on those sites. We have been spending many episodes now and articles building out the Boomtown campaign setting. But obviously the first and foremost mission of 3wisedms is we are DMs with problems. We want to help DMs with problems. So in those same handles, you can reach out to us with any problems, issues, or questions you have about anything you're running at your table. We love to get it on an episode and talk about it for the better part of an hour. There are there's certain things I'm not allowed to say, but there are very exciting things coming from our friends over at FanRoll Dice. So make sure to check out our affiliate link at fanrolldice.com/REF/2871 so that you can be in the know about some of the fun things that are coming out. That's all I'm going to say about that. But that's going to be it for us this week. And as we do each episode, we are going to let our dear old erstwhile leader take us out.
And thank you to all of you listening from home. We really appreciate it. If you liked what you've been listening to, please smash that 5-star rating button. Let us know. Leave a good review. Tell your friends. That really helps us grow. If you'd like to hear us answer any question you have, send it to us at 3wisedms@gmail.com or go to our website, 3wisedms.com, and enter it in the What's Your Problem field. Or you can talk to us on Facebook, Instagram. We're active on all those platforms, so feel free to drop by, you know, send us a question, and we'll see if we can make it on the show. That's it for this week. We'll see you next time, 3 Wise Beings.